Hi, everyone. I'm Kelly O'Horo, and this is Adaptable Behavior Explained.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm excited to be here with you today to discuss a really important topic, which is at the forefront of every relationship that you ever had, and that's communication. So we're going to talk about the four styles of communication, and we're going to explore how our family systems can shape these styles and how what we learned growing up really informed how we adapted and how we communicate. If you're interested in this topic, please like and share and perhaps subscribe so that I can know what content you'd like to see more of and if you find it helpful. And of course, if someone else could benefit from it, you know, make sure you send it their way. So communication is essential in human interaction, and understanding the different styles can greatly enhance our relationships and effectiveness in conveying our messages. We're going to start by examining the four main styles of communication, which are passive-aggressive, and assertive. We have to understand what our options are, how we use these styles in order to work towards an optimum style, which is assertive communication. The goal is, if we can be assertive, most of our needs can be at least heard and perhaps we're listened to. So I want to caution you that just because you learn to be assertive, it doesn't guarantee that you'll always have your needs met, but your chances are the best if you can approach communication with this style. So we're going to kick off with passive communication. This is a style that's characterized by people avoiding the expression of their opinions or feelings, neglecting to protect their rights, and they're failing to identify and address their needs. Typically, this type of communication stems from low self-esteem, where passive communication is rooted in the belief that one is not worthy of or of care or consideration. So I am not as important. My needs are not as important as yours. And I am in a one-down position. And so passive communication often stems from family environments where conflict was avoided or seen as taboo. People who grew up in such families may have learned to suppress their own needs and feelings in order to maintain harmony. They're more peacekeepers. For example, someone with a passive communication style might agree to something they don't want to do just to avoid conflict. They don't want to be confrontational. They don't want to upset the apple cart, or one of my clients says, I don't want to poke the bear. So it mirrors the behavior that they witnessed in their family systems. As a result, passive people often remain silent in the face of hurtful or anger-inducing situations. They allow their grievances to accumulate without even probably knowing that it's happening. However, once their tolerance threshold is surpassed, they may experience explosive outbursts disproportionate to the triggering incident. So following these outbursts, they often feel shame or guilt and confusion, and then they revert back to their passive demeanor because they don't want to feel the shame of having blown up. Behaviors that are common for people who have a passive communication style is that they fail to assert themselves. They don't stand up or speak up for what they need. They allow others to infringe on their rights. They suppress their feelings, their needs, or opinions. And oftentimes, people who have passive communication, they don't even really know what they feel or what they need because they're so busy trying to determine what other people around them need or want. And then they want to try to shapeshift or form into that space so as not to be disruptive. They might speak softly or apologetically. They might, you know these people that say sorry all the time. This is someone with a more passive communication style. They also oftentimes exhibit poor eye contact or maybe a slumped posture because they don't really have strong self-esteem. In other words, they don't recognize that their experience is equally important to the people around them. Unfortunately, with someone with a passive communication style, there's consequences to this. It can include feelings of anxiety, depression, oftentimes resentment that isn't even recognized as happening in them because they're so wired to try to keep the peace. They're often confused, and their inability to address underlying issues, it hinders their personal growth because they go for sometimes long periods without even understanding that they have needs, they have feelings, they don't express them, they don't assert them. So a passive communicator might express beliefs or thoughts, and they might think these things like, I'm incapable of standing up for my rights. I'm unsure of what my rights even are. I'm constantly being taken advantage of. I'm weak and unable to fend for myself. Or my feelings are never considered by others. So these people often find themselves in a bit of a victim role, a little bit of a poor me stance. And oftentimes it's not expressed. This is just part of an internal dialogue. Although in situations where they trust their audience, they might express these things. The next type of communication we're going to talk about is passive-aggressive communication. This type of style is often characterized by people appearing passive on the surface while they subtly express anger or resentment in indirect ways. This behavior often stems from feelings of powerlessness and often frustration, with people resorting to covert tactics to deal with these perceived injustices of not having been heard. People with passive-aggressive communication, this often arises in families where direct expression of a negative or a protective feeling is discouraged. So we don't do anger, we don't do fear. And this discouragement is met with sometimes even punishment. Like, you know, I told you to keep your mouth shut and I'll give you something to cry about. So people that have been parented that way or in a family system like that way, perhaps end up being more passive aggressive. People might resort to indirect means of expressing their dissatisfaction or the resistance, such as sarcasm, subtle sabotage as a way of avoiding direct confrontation while still asserting themselves. And this behavior might have been learned as a coping mechanism in response to communication patterns within their family system. There are behaviors that are associated with passive-aggressive communication. So key in and see if this is something that sounds familiar to you or someone you know. So people with this style might mutter to themselves instead of addressing the issue directly. So they are the ones that walk away and like, oh, you know, I see where you stand. And they mean for you to not hear, but they also mean for you to hear they're saying something. There's a difficulty acknowledging that they're angry and maybe even a phobia to the emotion anger. They might have facial expressions that contradict their true feelings, like smiling when they're really angry, using sarcasm to convey frustration, and oftentimes they're denying the existence that there's a problem while covertly undermining it. So these are people that might say, you know, everything's fine or whatever. They're appearing cooperative while they're intentionally causing annoyance and disruption with these, you know, covert responses. They might engage in subtle acts of sabotage to retaliate against perceived slights. So that's the whatever or, you know best. Those kinds of statements are someone who's being passive aggressive. The consequences of a pattern of passive aggressive communication oftentimes include alienation from others. It perpetuates feelings of powerlessness. So again, I'm not speaking up in my truest voice and being assertive. So then I feel powerless, like what I want or need doesn't matter. And it often hinders personal growth because you're avoiding direct confrontation or constructive tension and the resolution of the underlying issue. And so we don't get to move through our stuck spots. A passive aggressive communicator might express beliefs or thoughts in ways that sound like this. I feel weak and resentful, so I resort to sabotage and disruption. I lack the power to confront you directly, so I resort to these guerrilla tactics. In today's day and age, that might look like passive aggressive posts on social media, you know, where they're talking to somebody, but they're not actually talking to anybody. And so it's more of a covert messaging system because they're really avoidant of directly addressing what's happening for them. And oftentimes with that comes assumptions, you know, they're assuming how someone is feeling or thinking on the other side of the communication. And this happens so much more in today's day and age with texting. And I may appear cooperative, but I harbor hidden resentments. And so I haven't fully addressed how I'm experiencing things or how I'm feeling. And this keeps people really stuck. The next type of communication we're going to discuss is aggressive communication. So aggressive patterns of communication are often characterized by people who express their feelings, their opinions, and needs in a manner that disregards the rights of others. Often they're resorting to verbal or physical abuse, and it's always rooted in low self-esteem. It typically stems from past abuse or unresolved emotional trauma, and aggressive communicators assert themselves through domination and control, and typically through overpowering. Aggressive communication can develop in families where assertiveness is discouraged and power dynamics are skewed. So people may have learned to dominate conversations and disregard the needs and feelings of others in order to assert control. For instance, someone who witnessed aggressive behavior from a parent may adopt a similar communication tactic in their own interactions. Another dynamic I often see with this style is in people who were bullied at home or at school by either a family member or someone else, and eventually they ended up getting big enough or strong enough to fight back, and this power that's gained ends up reinforcing so much in the person because they never want to feel like they did when they were in that power down position or when they were being bullied, whether it was in their homes or at school. And so they feel empowered by powering over or overpowering, and that ends up getting adaptively reinforced as a counterbalance. And of course, this is really without, it's not without consequences, because behaviors from that are often seen from aggressive communication often include attempting to dominate others, using humiliation as a means to control people, criticizing, blaming, or attacking, acting impulsively with low frustration tolerance, speaking loudly or demanding attention in a power over way, acting threatening or rudely, exhibiting poor listening skills, and frequent interruption. Now, I want to do a little footnote here because frequent interruption isn't always aggressive. Sometimes frequent interruption is the result of someone who has a really fast brain in, for example, ADHD. So someone is really quickly thinking and they have a counter to the thought that happened, and their impulse control has more to do with the interruption as opposed to being aggressive. So you need to just understand and perhaps give a generous assumption to a person who is a frequent interrupter and maybe check in to see, is it from aggression or is it because of impulsivity? And by doing that, you might ask them, hey, I'm really struggling with the interrupting. I'm losing my train of thought. You know, would you try to be more mindful and be a little patient for me to get through? A person who's aggressive will become defensive and they won't hear you. A person who's just impulsive will say, I'm so sorry, I'm working on it. So you need to use some other communication strategies to decipher whether that interruptive behavior is from aggression or from impulsivity. They also might use statements like you, and blame so that they can project their discomfort and they can discharge their pain and discomfort through blame. And oftentimes there's something that's a little bit more just from body language with an aggressive communicator where they'll have this piercing eye contact and imposing posture so that their listener can feel smaller or they know their place. So it's a power over physical move. The consequences of a pattern of aggressive communication often include alienation from others. Think about it. If someone's aggressive, you don't want to be in their realm. You don't want to be on the recipient side of an aggressive communicator. So you avoid them. And the instilling of fear and resentment in those around them often create avoidance of personal responsibility. And of course, it hinders personal emotional growth if I'm aggressive, because I'm not often a safe recipient of feedback. Now, this doesn't mean that constructive tension isn't part of hard conversations. And I want to make sure that I'm not relaying inappropriately that hard conversations can feel aggressive, but just having emotional expression doesn't also, it's not synonymous with aggression. So that is oftentimes clarified with questions, with, you know, clearing up of an assumption. If, you know, you're raising your voice, are you mad? You know, this happens in some of my communication with some family members, like, are you mad right now? Because I'm feeling like you're mad, you know, and I'll get feedback like, no, I'm not mad. I'm just passionate about what happened and it's not about you. And so you can get that clarification through further communication. But aggressive communication, people might express their beliefs in ways that sound something like this, and they might just be thoughts that are happening internally or even an undertone of superiority. So they might kind of come off like they're always right while you're inferior or always wrong. They might have this thought that I have the right to dominate and intimidate you. They might be thinking, you know, your needs and rights are insignificant compared to mine, and so my perspective matters more than your perspective. And they might come through with an exertion of control to get their way at any cost. And so you want to be listening for things like that in yourself and also in people that you have communication with. They might come off as extraordinarily blaming for everything, and that can be aggressive, and with a sense of entitlement to whatever they desire. So even though if it's said calmly, if the entitlement air in their communication is coming through, it is actually aggressive. And it might also come with a little bit of a "you owe me" obedience or submission. And so these are some things that you want to look out for in yourself and others to determine if aggressive communication is what's happening. So the next topic we're going to talk about is assertive communication. Now, this is the gold standard. This is where we all want to get. Assertive communication is a style that's characterized by people who clearly express their opinions. They know what they feel. They express how they feel. They know their needs, and they advocate for their rights without infringing on the rights of others. That's the key with this. It's that my needs, wants, feelings, and desires are equally important to yours. It's rooted in high self-esteem, and assertive communication prioritizes self-respect equally to the respect of others and their listeners and in their interactions. So assertive communication, on the other hand, is often cultivated in families where open communication and mutual respect are valued, and they're shown in interactions over and over in the family system. Individuals who grow up with such environments may have learned to express themselves directly and respectfully while also considering the rights and the feelings of others. They might have observed assertive behavior modeled by their caregivers and internalized these patterns as their own. And so they learn, I matter, others matter, I don't need to power over, I don't need to stay small and shapeshift for my audience. I get to be equally important. And you really see someone who has an assertive communication style when there's a power differential in the relationship and they don't get small because of fear. They recognize they equally matter even in relationships where there's a power differential. Common behaviors for people who have assertive communication are that they clearly state their needs and wants in a respectful manner. They express their feelings and opinions. They use I statements. They understand how they feel. They understand what's happening in them, and they're okay expressing that. They're also accountable for the stories that they make up or the assumptions that they make. So they recognize that their perspective is just one perspective, and they give an opportunity for their listener to reflect back if they're getting it right. They demonstrate respect for others' viewpoints. They're good at active listening, and they don't interrupt. Or if they do, they course correct or correct themselves. Or if they're given feedback about the interruption, they're able to go, my bad, I'm so sorry, I'm just really excited, or my brain is really fast. They maintain control over their emotions and actions. So it's not that they don't have emotions. It's that they don't have to get their emotions all over somebody else because they're more regulated. They can establish good eye contact. They don't avert eye contact. Now, I want to put a little footnote here in that good eye contact is sometimes culturally dependent. In some cultures, good eye contact is actually a sign of disrespect. So if you're wondering about someone that you are interacting with that doesn't have good eye contact, but they do exhibit some of these other characteristics of assertive communication, you might just do a little bit of research around that specific culture and what's normative regarding things like eye contact. Oftentimes, people who are assertive, they speak in calm and a confident tone. They have a relaxed body posture. They're not up and really intense, and they're not sitting back and trying to get small. Their shoulders are oftentimes held back. And they feel connected to others while they maintain personal boundaries, so they don't lose themselves in the communication or the conversation. They also know how to stand up for their rights without being aggressive and without using manipulative tactics. So they're clear, they're kind, and something that I like to tell people is say what you mean what you say, but don't say it mean. And if you keep those tenets in mind, you're usually going to be okay. The consequences of people who have assertive communication is that they feel connected to others, they can maintain control over their life, they foster personal growth, they can have good, rich relationships, they can move through constructive tension. They have proactive problem solving. They're not avoidant when there's tension, and they circle back with inquisitive or curiosity approach. So if they, you know, they read a text and they didn't understand what happened, you know, there's someone who can say, "Hey, did I misunderstand that text that came through? I was hearing that you were upset. Am I getting that right?" So they cannot avoid those types of things. So assertive communication really fosters good relationships. And it's hard to have good relationships when one or both parties aren't able to express themselves fully. So people that have assertive communication might think and feel like mutual respect is the foundation of our effective communication. I have confidence in my identity and my choices. And I understand that you might have different choices and ideas, and we can meet in the middle. We can say, "I matter and you matter and your thoughts matter." And even if they're different, I can take responsibility for my actions and my decisions. I can circle back with empathy when I got it wrong. I value clear and honest communication. I don't like when people don't address what's going on and give me a generous assumption that I can meet them with compassion or empathy. I focus on controlling my own behavior, not the behavior of others. I can prioritize having my rights respected while respecting the rights of others, and I can advocate for my needs in a manner that promotes mutual respect. And I respect that, you know, and I recognize that nobody owes me anything without a mutual agreement of expectations. So that's where communication becomes so critical in relationships. And I realize too that I'm responsible for cultivating my own happiness. So I don't blame or put the responsibility of my okayness on somebody else, because ultimately it isn't anyone else's responsibility to know what I need, to know how I feel, and to express those needs in a respectful way. So how can we move towards more assertive communication, since that's what we're all looking to do, regardless of our family upbringing and what we learned in our family systems? So it starts with awareness of self. We have to recognize our own communication patterns, which is why I wanted you to have the background on all of these styles, so that you can start looking at yourself and recognize, what do I do? And even start thinking about, how did your family system influence the way that you communicate? Understanding the roots of our communication style, it can bring us to a more sense of awareness, and then we can begin to challenge and change them if those communication patterns are no longer serving us. We can practice expressing ourselves assertively by using I statements to convey our thoughts and our feelings directly. We can set clear boundaries. What's okay with me? What's not okay with me? And we can advocate for our needs in a respectful manner. We want to remember to listen actively to others, to show empathy, and to validate their perspectives, even if you disagree. There's a time for you to be able to feedback your experience and perspective. Finally, you need to be patient with yourself and recognize that assertive communication is a skill that takes time and practice to develop. By consciously cultivating assertive communication habits, we can foster healthier relationships. We can create more fulfilling interactions in all aspects of our lives, whether it be professional, whether it's personal, whether it's as a parent. And I really encourage you to give it a try. And if you're not sure where you fit in this, share it with someone that you trust. Share this information with someone that you trust and ask them, "How do you see me? How do you experience me?" And that way you have more insight and self-awareness about how you communicate in your relationship. I hope that you found this episode helpful. We've explored our four styles of communication, how our family systems can influence these styles, how assertive communication is really the goal, and ways that we can lean into that so that we can become more assertive communicators. So thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, remember to lead with love. It'll never steer you wrong.